Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking. Recognized as the best Pan-African bank for SMEs. For tailored solutions and deep sector expertise, search Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking today.
All right, let's move on to property now. And from digital nomads to flexi living professionals, a seismic shift is underway in how and where we are starting to live. Now, forget the old debate between short-term leases and year-long contracts. A new model is emerging, and it's transforming cities like Cape Town and also San Francisco. It's called medium-term rentals. And if you listen up, it could be a really smart play in property right now. To that effect, I'm joined by St. John Gardner, Commercial Director and Co-Founder of Neighborgood. It's a company that says it's rewriting the rules of hospitality and investment property. St. John, good evening to you and a very warm welcome. Let's start with the definition then, medium-term rental. Tell me what it is.
Thanks, Jeremy. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here. In terms of what medium-term rentals are, it's almost exactly like you said, sort of an intersection between the two. So if you take 12-month leases as your traditional rental offering for residential, and you take short stays anywhere from 1 to 28 nights, it's sort of slap bang in between that. So our typical sort of sweet spot is 1 to 6 months, and even closer to 1 to 3 months, ideally.
So let me test the argument a little bit. Medium-term rental, some might say it's just a fancy name for filling gaps in seasonal occupancy. Can you prove that it's a long-term sustainable model and not just a stopgap?
Sure, absolutely. So in terms of our offering, we've operated a number of properties. We've built a portfolio of 13 locations here in Cape Town, that have stabilized occupancy throughout the year, 85% plus, short turnaround times in terms of new spaces, waiting list in terms of properties. Obviously, over season, there's, Cape Town sells itself. It's really growing as a destination for international travelers, remote workers, and young professionals. But likewise, over winter, we are having equal success keeping the spaces full throughout the year. And enjoying good rental yields as a result.
What type of locations would lend themselves then to optimum medium rental leases?
So your general medium-term user or digital nomad or remote worker, all living in lifestyle cities, close to amenities, so amazing coffee shops, hiking, close to hiking, the ability to have most of the destinations in sort of a walkability, as we refer to it. So if you look at our Greenpoint locations, those are perfect. You can walk to the Greenpoint Park across the road. Hiking is not that too far away. You've got the amazing eateries in and around Cape Town. That's everywhere everyone wants to be. And similar to short-term rentals, but slightly different in terms of short-term rentals, people really want to be, close to tourist attractions, things like that. Your medium-term user is more living there over that period. So they want to experience Cape Town or San Francisco like a local would.
So flexibility and accessibility sounds great, but can you guarantee stability for investors in an environment, and particularly if you look at Cape Town, which is defined by constant change?
100%. And I think that's the beauty of our model, is that we operate a variable risk model. So in terms of, let's take COVID, for example, that's how we started out, and we were born out of COVID. We were strictly long-term at that point. So we offered 3, 6, 9, 12-month leases, most of them on 12-month leases. And if we ever found ourselves in a position, we would revert back to that in order to stabilize, returns to investors. So what we always do is look at our model on a defensive long-term stability basis, and then we look to yield up from there in terms of bringing in medium-term rentals to give you that 20 to 30%, better revenue.
Is there any issue with local resistance, particularly in neighborhoods that maybe fear the hotelification of their communities? It's something that I know is happening, for instance, in cities like Barcelona.
So we haven't seen that quite yet in Cape Town. And I think medium-term rentals sort of offer sort of a different position to that, because I think those are a lot of the heat there is on over tourism and, tourists living there and sort of, disrupting the locals and making it super expensive for locals. We're not really seeing that with medium-term rentals. We're seeing that, people are wanting to live here. They're coming here because the cost of living is low relative to the European and American counterparts. San Francisco has a high cost of living, for example. But people want to live there because of the lifestyle attributes. And I think that Cape Town is going to be quite different. And I don't think that medium-term rentals necessarily replacing long-term rental of options. You know, we're seeing more long-term developments come to fruition in Cape Town as well. And we see this more as providing for that space in the middle. There's a growing demand and shift of consumers who, you know, want to live in different lifestyle cities, a bit more nomadic in nature. And that's what we're catering for. And that's what we believe these types of properties are catering for. But they don't replace sort of the need for more long-term traditional rentals either.
In that respect, Cape Town, I think is fair to say, is a hot spot right now. But what happens when the remote work hype fades or regulation tightens, like we've seen with Airbnbs globally? Does that pose any kind of risk to you?
I think we welcome any sort of regulation that makes the, you know, makes the space more sort of guaranteed in terms of operating strength of operators, you know, anything like that where we can bring strong regulation, because there isn't actually a lot of, even when we build new spaces, you know, there isn't a lot of guidance in terms of what an operator needs to provide for medium-term rentals. The building regulations, there's quite a gap there as well. So we actually welcome, you know, more regulation to the space and more understanding around the space. I don't necessarily believe that they worry us too much. I don't think we're certainly not concerned at this point in terms of sort of an over-regulation. I don't think that's where we are concerned at the moment.
And Sinton, you spoke a little earlier about higher yields. I understand that. But are there risks that investors are taking in or taking on in exchange? In other words, is the return worth any kind of perceived volatility?
So in terms of medium-term rentals, there is a little bit more risk in terms of your occupancy risk with obviously longer-term leases. And for that, you need to be earning, you know, 20 to 30% you know, increase in revenue to go with those risks. However, we don't see that risk is significant because we price our investment offerings on the long-term basis on a, you know, more risk-adjusted model. So if we need to, and we need to throttle back to more long-term leases and give the investor that longer-term stability at a lower yield, you know, we could certainly do that. And that's what we have done. So like if you take over winter now, for example, we make sure that we can get through winter with, you know, a component of at least 40 to 50% long-term leases to stabilize the property's cash flow. So I think there is certainly slightly a higher risk profile, but certainly not that with short-term rentals.
And just a final one, how replicable do you think the Cape Town model is, for instance, in maybe less global or affluent cities? Or is this particular paradigm just for the top 1% of markets, both in this country and worldwide?
I think it's an interesting question, Jeremy. I think we, you know, often joke with my co-founder and you know, CEO Murray, is that, you know, why did we pick a city that's 10,000 miles away to see if this works? And we've come to the conclusion that if it can work 10,000 miles away, then surely it can work globally. And I think what's interesting about San Francisco and Cape Town is that they both share so many similarities in terms of where people want to be, certainly with the age group and our demographic of people, you know, 24 to 34, unmarried. You know, they want to be somewhere where there's like-minded people, where there's lots of lifestyle attributes to the city, lower cost of living, although San Francisco sort of bucks the trend there. But there's, if you take away, you know, some of the expensive parts, there's also a lot of free things to do in San Francisco. I mean, when I was traveled there recently to go and see the properties, I was, you know, so surprised at how many cool free things to do there are to do in the city, and same like Cape Town. And I think that we're going to see more and more demand for these types of medium-term rentals around those cities. So our view is to pick, you know, the best lifestyle cities around the world with similar attributes, and those are the cities where we think these will work. We're cautiously looking at other cities. You know, there's obviously similar pockets of opportunity in Johannesburg and Durban, but we don't believe that they represent the same global interest as Cape Town. You know, Cape Town could easily rank in the top 10 cities in the world. But if you look at remote workers and digital nomads, they're looking at cities like Tbilisi and Georgia, you know, other cities that are not necessarily in your normal top 10 or 20 cities that you would be, you know, associated with in terms of you thought, you know, the top markets in the world. I think there's very interesting spaces. Bangsco as well. There's some really, really cool, interesting places that people want to live for 1 to 6 months.
It's called medium-term rentals. I've been in conversation with Sinton Gardner, commercial director, co-founder of Neighborgood. I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking.